Good to see each of you this morning. Good to be back. We had a safe trip back home and back again with you for a couple of Sundays. The Lord is good. Tell it wherever we go. I want to continue this morning in our study that I began Sunday before last on the church. And just before we do, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Thank you, Father, for this privilege that we have this morning where, once again, we can gather in this manner and open your word. We know that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And if ever there was a time in our lives that we need this word, it's this day in which we live. We pray, O God, that as we open it this morning, you might use it for your honor and your glory. Speak through us and to us, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Last Sunday, we began with the church, and I just want to go over it briefly. There might be some of you that weren't here, and if you're like me, it's been 2 weeks, and perhaps we don't remember all that we heard. I know my memory is getting really bad. I find that I have to make more notes now than ever before in my life, but that comes with age. And those of you who don't know, you will find out. We looked last week at the church. And there was three things in particular that we looked at. I just want to look at them briefly again this morning. First, it is quite clear that the church is not a building. The church is a body of believers. You and I, you are here this morning, whose sins have been forgiven. We've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And we are the church. We are the church. But we alone cannot make the church. We are in need of something else. And that is the Lord Jesus himself. The Bible tells us, and we read this last week, or week before last, in Isaiah chapter 28, there we saw the foundation of the church. The body needs a foundation. And that foundation, the scripture says, in Isaiah 28:16, therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone. Now he's not talking about stone as you and I might think, but he's talking about his son. The Lord Jesus Christ. I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone. And look at the way the stone is described. And this is wonderful. A tried stone. A tried stone. A precious cornerstone. A sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. In other words, the church, the body, is built on a foundation. And that foundation is the Son of God, Jesus Christ. A tried stone. A precious stone. That's what you and I are resting on this morning. A precious stone. A sure foundation. Isn't that wonderful to know that we are building on a solid rock that cannot be moved? And that's why Isaiah finishes off this. He that believeth shall not make haste. And when he says that, it means that we can depend on that foundation when the storms of life come, irrelevant, irrespective of what they are. We don't have to look for a way of escape. Because our foundation is sure. our foundation is firm, and this is what you and I can depend on today. That is the hope that we have. That's what we base our lives as believers on the solid foundation. We also looked at the fact that He is the head. So we have the foundation that we're resting on, but we also have the head. We must have a head. The body can't exist without a head. We can't exist without a foundation. So Jesus Christ is the solid foundation. He is also the head. We see this in Colossians 1:18. It says, and He is the head of the body, the church. He is the head of the body, the church. That in all things, and we see this quite often in our churches, in our remembrance services, that in all things He might have the preeminence. And I was thinking as I was going through this yesterday and again this morning, isn't that wonderful? We as believers don't realize so often the position that we're in. The Lord Jesus is beneath us as the foundation. The Lord Jesus is above us as the head. And you and I are in between. I mean, what more could we want? What more is there in life to know that there we are? We're in between the head and the foundation. But we have a duty. We have a duty, and this is what we want to look at this morning. As the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to look at the fact that the church, the body, is more than a religious organization, but it is a living organism as well. There are many religious organizations throughout the world. It would probably frighten you if you saw them all listed in one long list. Religious organizations. I can tell you, I was just going through briefly and counting the ones that I know of that's in Abaco alone. And I could come up with 15 different religious groups that are right in Abaco. 15! And they're all there. And they all talk about God, or they all talk about Jesus, and whether they're right or wrong, God knows, and I'm not about to judge them. But nevertheless, they are there. But that is not the point. The point is that we are a religious organization as an organism which is alive. We have to be alive. We're not dead. We are not dead. We are a church that is alive. In 1 Peter chapter 2, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, we read this. To whom coming, as unto a living stone, rejected indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. He's talking about Jesus. Ye also as living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. In other words, as a part of the body of Christ, you and I are alive. We're alive. We must be alive. Now you might say, well, I've been alive ever since I opened my eyes in birth. That's fact. We're all alive in a natural sense. But when you come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and become a part of the body of Christ, we become alive. And really alive. Because the Spirit of God, which is alive, enters into the hearts and lives of every believer. Of every believer. We have Him living within us. And if He's alive, we can't be dead. If we're dead, there's something wrong with us. If we're dead, we don't have Christ living in us. Because He's alive. And the fact that he is alive was proven when the women walked to the tomb on that Easter Sunday morning. The tomb was open, and sitting on the stone, the scripture says, was an angel. And he said, I know what you're looking for. He's not here. He's risen. He's alive. And beloved, you and I are alive because of that fact. The Lord Jesus Christ conquered death, hell, and the grave. He came forth victorious. And so praise God this morning, if you're his child, you're alive. Alive, not physically, but alive spiritually. And if that doesn't make our hearts glad this morning, I don't know what else can. To know that we're alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's alive, you and I are alive. And now the proof to the world that he is alive has got to be seen through you and I. He's not here. He's gone. He ascended back into the heavens. He's now seated at the right hand of God the Father. You and I are his representatives. You and I are his ambassadors. And it is up to you and I as a body of believers to show to the world outside that indeed we are alive. He didn't save us for us just to sit still, keep quiet, say nothing, do nothing. No. We all have a responsibility as a part of the body of Christ to show the world that he is alive because he lives in us. There's a song that we sing sometimes that says, you ask me how I know he lives. And the answer is, he lives within my heart. Now, if we don't show the world that he's alive in our lives, how in the world are they going to know that he is alive? Or that we are alive? He says that I came to give life, abundant life. And that wasn't more of the same old natural stuff, but that's a spiritual life. That's you and I are part of that spiritual life. We live because he lives. And so to show the world out there that he's alive, you and I must be alive. So the role that you and I must play with this new nature is very important. It is very important. The first thing happens, we see in 2 Corinthians 5:17, when we come into this body, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. So that we take on a new nature. Now, we don't get rid of the old one. The old nature is still there. But we get rid of the old habits and the old things, the old ways, the old ideas, the old thoughts, the old actions, and whatever we did. They are done away with because Christ moves in. He gives us a new life. He gives us a new nature. We fight the old nature. It's there. It's battling us every day. But we are alive in Christ. He said in Revelation 1:18, I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. I want to share a couple more passages of scripture with you on this matter. In Romans chapter 6, in verse 8, the writer of the Romans says, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Now this passage of scripture is used quite frequently in baptismal services. As we baptize and we push the individual down into the waters, we say that we are dead with Christ, we go into the waters of baptism, and we rise up and we're alive with Christ. Verse 10 says, for in that he died to sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Talking about the Lord Jesus. In verse 11, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. In other words, that old nature. We're dead unto that old nature. But alive unto God. Alive unto God through who? Jesus Christ, our Lord. Our foundation, our head. We're in between. We're the builders. We're the ones that have to move. We have to be on the move. We have to be doing whatever it may be. We have to be saying. And we're going to look at that again in a little while. We have to prove that we're alive. I want to share some more with you. In Ephesians, the book of Ephesians chapter 2. We can see there the Apostle Paul writing to the Ephesian church. And here's what he had to say about this. He says, and you, who's he talking to? He's talking to the believer, to you and I today. And you hath he quickened. That word quickened means made alive. We've been made alive. Who were dead in trespasses and sins. In other words, as far as God was concerned, before we came to know Him as our personal Savior, before we became a part of the body of Christ, we were spiritually dead. Spiritually dead. And so, men, women, boys and girls today, on Spanish Wells, Abaco, throughout the Bahamas, who do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they have no contact with God, they are spiritually dead. Spiritually dead as far as God is concerned. But you and I, who are part of that body, we've been made alive. Made alive. We're doubly alive. We're alive physically and we're alive spiritually. And believe me, we can begin to comprehend and understand all of this, but we try to do our best. And the writer says, the reason we were dead was because in times past we walked according to the course of the world, which we know, the immorality, the selfishness, the ungodliness. And verse 3 says, we had our conversations in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and by nature the children of wrath. But then I like verse 4. But God, not man, not some individual, not some pastor, some priest, or whatever it may be, but God, who is rich in mercy. Oh, thank God for this mercy. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. Even when we were dead in sin. You know, that's something to stop and think about. The way that our lives were. The path that we were on. The roads that we were traveling leading us to destruction. And God in His love and mercy. He loved us so much. He was willing to give His Son. Even when you and I were dead in sin, had no part with Him, no fellowship whatsoever. It says, He hath made us alive together with Christ. So as far as we're concerned this morning as believers, we are together with Christ. We are a part of Him. We are a part of that body of which He's the head and the foundation. And this is why it is so important. So very important in our lives as believers to be ever mindful of who we are. Not just in the physical sense, not just because of a Pinder or a Roberts or an Aubrey or whatever that may be. That's a family tree. That's fine. We have to live up to that. But we are His children. We represent Him. And we need to be mindful of this in our lives. That we are a part of Jesus Christ. His body. And when we go out there, the things that we do and the things that we say and the places we go and whatever it may be in life, may we keep this first and foremost in our lives. We represent Jesus Christ. I think it was a couple of years ago. There was this, I don't know whether it was a movie or something came out. It said WWJD. What would Jesus do? And I think that that's something that we as believers need to keep in our minds as well. As we walk the road of life, as things come up in our lives, as problems arise, as questions come, as situations arise, WWJD. we ask ourselves, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? What would he say? Would he go? Would he stay? That should be applied to our lives. That should be applied to our lives because we are his children. We are made alive by our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. So Paul goes on to write here, he has raised us up together and made us sit together. I mean, this is wonderful. He has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. As far as God is concerned, you and I are already in the heavenlies. We're already in the heavenlies. It's just a matter of, in a moment, passing from this life to another. That's all that it is. We just leave this scene, and the Apostle Paul says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We're already seated in the heavenlies with Christ Jesus. And that in itself to me, should give us a greater incentive in our lives to tell other people about the Lord. To live our lives for Him. To let the world see that we're alive. That He means something to us. That He's made a difference in our lives. And not be ashamed about it. I know many times it's difficult to tell people. Many times it's difficult to show. But beloved, if we've been saved, if we're a part of the body of Christ, we must do it. Whatever it may be. God has called us to do something. And this is where we go next into 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I don't have time to go through all of that this morning, but that's an important passage of Scripture that we as the body should read and see. Because God has given us His children spiritual gifts. We all have spiritual gifts. And He expects for us to use them. Now, what those gifts are, we have to find out. We find out. We feel led by the Spirit what God wants us to do. But they're important in every facet of our Christian life and our Christian service. In verse 7 of chapter 12, the Apostle Paul writes, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." And then he goes on to list all of the different gifts. And then he comes to verse 12 and he says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been made all to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." So in other words, we're a body, and we're all separate. We all have separate gifts. We all have separate callings, whatever it may be. And I was thinking today that, you know, some people look at perhaps the individual standing to the church door in the morning, shaking hands. And that is just as an important gift as the man standing in that pulpit. Just as important. Why? Because when you walk through that door, you meet someone standing there with a smile on his face, and it says to you, "Good morning. How are you this morning? Welcome to the service. God bless you," or something of that nature. That sets a tone as you enter into the building. That sets the tone for you coming in. If you meet somebody at that door, it says, "Oh, what you come to church for this morning? I wish I was back home in bed myself." What sort of a tone is that going to set for you? Or for anybody else, as a matter of fact? And by the time you get in and sit down, it's a waste of time for the minister to get up there and start to talk to you. You're already set for the day. That's it. You see, that's why it's important. Giving to the Lord. Doing for the Lord. Teaching Sunday school. Whatever it may be, whatever that you're comfortable with, that you feel God has called you to do, do it. You're a part of the body of Christ. And we need each other. We need each other. I am no good standing up here without you. You are no good in trying to do something without the other part. And Paul goes on to list this there. He talks about the body, the foot. He talks about the eye. He talks about the ear. He talks about the hand. He says in verse 20, and now are they many members, but yet one body. But he also goes on to say, and we see this happening many times in verse 22, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary as well. So we have to look out for each other. We have to look out for each other. Because we're all important. You may be weaker than I am. Or I may be weaker than you are in some areas of my Christian life and my Christian service. But that does not give me the right or the authority to put you down. We need to lift each other up. To pray for each other. So that we may be a vibrant body alive in Jesus Christ. Because when one member suffers, we all suffer. Isn't that a fact? When one member suffers, we all suffer. If you as a believer today are in trouble, something happens in your life, people who are going to, on the outside, will start looking. And they will see the actions or the reactions of the other brothers and sisters to that person. And then they will begin to say, where is that love? Where is that fellowship? Where is that body of believers that need each other? And this is why it's important. This is why we need to be mindful of this as we go along in our lives. We are all important. We are all a part of this body. We need to be alive. We can't just drop and do nothing. Whatever you do, beloved, I encourage you this morning. Whatever it may be, the scripture says, even a cup of cold water in my name, you will receive your reward. Don't ever feel in your life that you are inadequate in what you're doing. Whatever you do, if you do it with a heart filled with love, if you do it with a willingness and a desire to serve the Lord, that's all that He asks. And I'll tell you from personal experience in my life, He will give you the wisdom to know what He wants you to do, and He will give you the courage to do it. And that's a fact. I wouldn't be here today without Him giving me that courage to stand. But He will give it to you. It's just a matter of determining within our hearts as a part of the body of Christ that we are going to do our part for Him. Whatever that calling may be in our lives. Whatever it may be. Never feel that what you're doing is not good enough. That's what God wants you to do. Don't look at somebody else who may be doing something bigger than you. Do what God wants you to do. And if you do it with a willing heart, with a commitment in your life, that's all that He asks. And I encourage you to do that today. As the Apostle Paul goes on to write here, he says, and verse 26 of that same chapter, Corinthians, and whether one member suffer, all members suffer, or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. You are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He writes something there as well that I want to share with you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31, the last part of that verse, he says, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. In other words, that should be the basics of our lives as believers. Whatsoever we do, do it not to honor ourselves. No, if we're going to do something just to seek a name, just to seek some preeminence or whatever it may be in life, forget it. You're not going to get anywhere. If you just want to do it for others to give you praise, forget it. You do it out of a sincere heart and a love for your Lord. Do it as a part of the body of Christ to build up, to work together towards one goal. And that goal is that one day He is going to call you and I home as His bride. and he's going to take this bride and he's going to present it to his heavenly Father. He's going to say, these are mine which thou gavest to me. You're going to be a part of that. You're going to be a part of that. I have to be a part of that. These are mine. And beloved, the desire of our hearts as a part of the body of Christ should be every day to make him proud of who we are. Make him proud of who we are. You know, you have to look at it in a simple term. Don't make it so complicated. We look at our children and we want them, as they grow up in life, to grow up to the extent that we can look at them, maybe with tears in our eyes or a smile on our face, and say, that's my child. I'm so proud of who they are. Maybe you've already done that. That's my son. That's my daughter. I'm so proud of what they have accomplished in life. And this is what you and I as believers ought to work toward, that goal. So that day when our Heavenly Father presents us as the church, the body of believers that have grown together, that have worked together, that have done all that we possibly could for Him because we love Him, when He presents us to the Father, these are mine. These are the ones that I died for. These are the ones that you gave to me. Beloved, that should give each of us an incentive this morning to work for Him, to be the best in whatever area of service that He has called you and I to be. We have to love each other as we go along the road of life and always keep Him first and foremost. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, the Apostle Paul writes these things. And he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. In other words, he is there. He is above us. He is below us. It is up to you and I to do our part. It is up to you and I as his church to do our part, to seek to do his will. He has laid the cornerstone and the foundation. He has given us the head of which to follow. And I pray today that it may be the desire of each of our hearts as his children to go out and show to the world that we're alive. That we are alive. We're alive in Jesus Christ. That he's changed us and he's made us into what he wants us to be. And the desire of our hearts is to be like him each day. Oh, I pray this morning that we may be encouraged as we walk the road of life. We face the difficulties of life each day. But as a body of believers, may we show the world, that we're not dead, that we're alive. We're alive in Jesus Christ. And we look forward to that day when he's going to make us shout and we're going to go home to be with him forevermore. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this morning for his name's sake. Amen. Father, thank you again this morning for your word. Thank you for those today that are part of that body of Christ, part of the family of God. What a great family. And Father, as we've heard today, you've made us alive. You've quickened us, made us alive in Jesus Christ. We sit already in the heavenlies as far as you're concerned. It's just a matter of time when you take us from this scene to be with you throughout the countless ages of eternity. Oh God, meanwhile, while down here, may we, Lord, not be careless and unconcerned, but Father, may we love you. May we commit ourselves to you, to your service, whatever it may be that you've called us, that you've gifted us to do. May we do it with a loving heart, and may we support each other, because each of us, irrelevant of who we are all important to the body of Christ. We are one. Join us together in love and fellowship with each other. But most of all, Father, in love for you, the one who loved us and gave himself thus. Bless your word, we pray, and we'll be careful to thank you for it. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for your attention this morning.